The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
And we're back. This is episode 179 of Colombia Calling. I am here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. I'm here with a very special guest this week. His name is, well, he'll have to forgive me for my pronunciation, because he's from the Czech Republic, so the first Czech person we've had on this show in all 179 episodes. His name is Jiří Petrák. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Ah, good. Welcome on Columbia Calling.
Thank you. Hello, everybody.
Thank you very much. Now, you have an interesting story. Let's just go back a little bit over this. Hang on a second. So you are from the Czech Republic, you are from Prague, and in 2016, you pretty much said, I'm quitting my job in this sort of plastics molding company, and after a little traveling in Central America, ended up in Colombia, and you've just decided to become a chocolatier.
Yes, exactly.
With no background in chocolate whatsoever. You are an economist, more or less.
Yes.
It's a great story. It's kind of like a, it's kind of like a good news story. You've got out of the rat race and you're doing something that you want to do. So let's just talk about yourself a little bit. First of all, how old are you?
I am 32 years old.
At 32 years old, you wanted to become a chocolate maestro. But with no background in chocolate and no knowledge of cacao, how did you start this project?
Okay, like at the beginning, the basic idea was I wanted to do something own, some my own business or project, and I wasn't looking for something particular. I just found, yeah, cacao, it's really nice. I really like chocolate, and one of the like. Yeah, the ideas was like making chocolate for Colombians, because Colombia is like one of the best cacao beans in the world, and usually those beans are exported. So I want to do like give a chance to Colombians taste the best of their tierra, the best of their ground.
So you're sort of doing like what the coffee industry, or the small coffee industry, independent coffee industry, started doing some years ago. Keeping some of the good product in Colombia so that we could enjoy it, as opposed to exporting everything and leaving the crap left over.
Yes, kind of. Like now you can see like really nice cafes here that finally can, where you can take like really good coffee.
Yeah. So, okay, now we've started from here. Now you've got this company, it's called Checkout, obviously Czech and cacao mixed together. .co, that's the website. So it's checao.co. So you can see your stuff there. Now, how did you end up falling into this? You decided you're here in Colombia. Okay, cacao is going to be the thing. So you researched where you would get your cacao and just got on a bus down to Granada, Meta, and started buying cacao.
I remember first when, like at the beginning when I was traveling or around Colombia, I went to one compraventa, which is like place where the farmers usually sell their own production. Mm-hmm. And usually there were like one mazorca or one like grape of cacao.
Yeah.
And I really liked the shape, and the taste was incredible. I was like really fascinated, like the taste of like raw cacao bean, like before fermentation. And I just asked myself that, that there is no like much about cacao in Colombia, like all process. So that's like all this idea just connected together. And I decided to start my own production. Mm-hmm. And I felt that I got like this passion for it that I didn't give up like after first week, as I usually do sometimes in some projects. I just started and I really like it, enjoy it.
But how does it, so when you went down to Granada and Meta, Granada and Meta has had some seriously interesting history in the last few years, but you went down there, what, did they look at you like a crazy person? You're like 6 foot five and you're Czech, you're white, you're blue eyes.
When I came there for the first time, I remember that I was there for like kind of fiesta or like fair of the harvest period. Yeah. And I was like, there was like the group of people and I was coming with them and they were like Afro origin and it was the only white. I look like really bizarre thing like in the ma. And the people, they thought that I am like the medical from
Médecins Sans Frontières.
Yeah. So they asked me, some people are just laughing, hiding. They told me, most of the people told me that I'm the first foreigner they ever met. Uh-huh. And like when I was starting to ask about cacao, the first reaction of people was like, okay, like kind of, I thought that it's the idea, but they never expressed this sentence from me, it's another gringo, they just want to buy the things and export them. And after I was just going on and explaining them that I want to make cacao and chocolate and give them like for them. And after... I found some farmers that were incredible, like friendly, and they showed me everything, and I was really surprised. Really nice people.
So that's the thing. It's when you first started talking about cacao, they were like, "Oh, it's just another gringo looking down for the project." But like you told me off camera, off mic, and now that we're talking, the goal is to make a nice product. You want to make something in Colombia for Colombians.
Yes.
What, it takes a Czech person to do that. it's bizarre, but it is. It's a fun story.
Yeah, I think it's like right. Like I was just asking myself why, like the chocolate is famous. Like the Swiss, the French, Italian. Why do they do like the best chocolate in the world if they don't have like the culture of growing cacao, cultivation of cacao? So, okay, let's learn about, like, let's learn more about cacao and all the process and try to start make Colombian chocolate with all local ingredients, no chemicals or no another, edited, some edited ingredients.
But so how did you learn about the process?
It's like,
you didn't take a course or
anything? No, never. I wanted to be like really, I was just reading articles, watching the videos on internet, because nowadays it's kind of like typical, like the people can learn the things from table. They just open the YouTube and just Googling and trying. And the first, like, so I was like watching the videos in Czech Republic, but buying like few beans in my country, I mean in general in Europe, it's like kind of difficult and expensive for all the experiments. So like the real tests I made here in Colombia.
But so basically you educated yourself via YouTube.
Yes, but
it's just brilliant.
Yeah, but let's say like it's up to people if I fail or if I pass the.
Well, you know, I'm sitting here and you've kindly given, you know, gifted me a showpiece of your chocolate. I don't think you failed. We've got this beautiful, I would say, traditional sort of almost like a canvas bag, which has been printed with your logo, checkout.co. And it says here, you've got the map of Colombia and it's a 51% cacao from Meta. That's the department where Granada is located. 25% panela de Boyacá, so the unrefined sugarcane sugar, and 24% milk from Antioquia. So it's chocolate made by hand with love. Well, there's more behind this because you actually make this by hand in your girlfriend's kitchen when she's not there.
Yes,
I mean there's a lot behind this. So when she goes away on a business trip or off to visit family or so on and so forth, you dirty the kitchen by making your kilos of chocolate. So it's all, I mean, we're talking about, you are almost the whole process from start to finish. It's like, you're not growing the cacao yourself, but you're buying it in Granada. You do the, let's say, fermentation down there. Then you bring it up, I guess, in sacks.
Yes.
And then you bring it into your apartment and you do it over the, in the oven.
Yes.
It's just,
exactly.
It's brilliant. But obviously with this, you're not trying to take on, Cadbury or Chocolate Jet here.
No.
It's a project.
Yes. Uh-huh. I think the chocolate, like designing this kind of chocolate I want to do, it's like not for masses.
Yeah.
Because it's like specific product, which is like really big taste, or like strong taste of cacao, and at the same time of panela, which is like very specific for us Europeans. It's not very, very typical, like to add panela as a sugar to things, and panela has like really good specific taste. And yes,
but aside from the just the amazing story of a Czech guy, an economist, starting his own chocolate. Mm. Well, let's say mini empire, because it's your empire out of your kitchen. So you've learned all about cacao, and you've learned all about the process. And it's a long process, isn't it? From when you plant a cacao tree to when it actually yields the fruit. How is it? About 8 years for the first yield? I can't remember.
The plant.
Yeah.
It depends. Today they mix different kinds, but I think you can in the second year you can have first you can have first mazurkas.
Uh-huh. And why is Colombian chocolate? You say it's amongst the best, but of course we don't. I am no connoisseur. I just eat chocolate. But why would you say it's one of the best?
The Colombia, like in general, is like country where the cultivation is like long tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I think the because of the mountains, the tierra, the ground is like really rich for all the minerals, and because of the level of all the altitude and the climate, it's like perfect for cultivation of cacao. The same as Venezuela, Colombian cacao is not that famous as Venezuelan because of the huge consumption of cacao itself here in Colombia.
Yeah, you say that, and of course now I have an image, of course, here in Bogota and in the cold areas, we all drink hot chocolate all the time, of course with cheese in it, but it is a huge domestic market. So I guess what you're saying, as a good economist would say, that the most cacao is bought internally. Domestically.
Yes, most like, which is like different if you compare it to other countries in this region, which like the biggest cacao countries here is like, for example, Ecuador, and most of their cacao beans they export to other countries.
And how do we verify a quality of cacao? There is a whole system, isn't
there? Like I think the quality of cacao is not just influenced by the, let's say, the cultivation, but the process which come afterwards, which is like fermentation, and which can be sometimes issue in Colombia, because like how they consider, like, let's say that they don't consider so much, or they don't distinguish the quality of cacao.
Yeah.
So if the farmers, he produce the cacao, they have just two types, like they have like corriente.
Yeah.
And they have like premium, which in like Colombian language of cacao farmers means the beans are corriente, which is like lower quality, which is like really fast fermented.
Yes.
And it's not that dry. It means that they don't leave it so, I don't know, they leave it like 1-2 days, just get it dry. And after they just pick it up and brought it to some place where they sell it. And yeah, premium, which is like higher quality, like well fermented, like more days, and which is dry, which has low percentage of humidity. But in general, like in my opinion, it's like the cacao. When I choose cacao, let's say I'm not the expert, but in my opinion, I found that if I make chocolate of beans, which has already like kind of weird acid smell, which means it's not fermented well, So it's not good, the chocolate at the end. It's not bitter, but acid, and it's not very, very good. It's like eating kind of lemon mixed with panela with a little bit of bitterness. So it's not good. So it's good is like if it's like really, really nice, bitter flavor.
I can understand that. Now, let's bring this into the contemporary period a little bit here. The Colombian government for some years has been aiming at cacao as a replacement, sort of product for the coca plant across the country. And of course, it's very topical at the moment. And cacao a few years ago was the prices were great, weren't they? The prices were great. But I understand that that's not the case at the moment. Prices have dropped.
Yeah, let's say when the Colombian government started this project, the cacao was like one of the main topic in terms of the commodity, which is like increasing. Mm-hmm. The price was boosting. And nowadays, because of different reasons, the cacao, it's like the price is dropping.
The price is dropping.
Yeah, and I found some reason, and one of them is like there is like surplus of cacao nowadays in Africa. And yes, it depends, but still I think it's like for farmers here it's still like good product in terms of earning money for the farmers, because the price, if you compare all your investments and all the effort they have to put in cultivation, they can get like really good gains for living.
So still worthwhile. It's
yes.
Still worthwhile, but it doesn't
compared to other things.
But not like the coca plant. I mean, nothing's going to come close to coca.
No, definitely.
But it's a really interesting thing that, because they've pegged so much expectation to cacao, and if there's a surplus in the market, then
But no one knows like what's going to happen next in Africa. That can be like. There can be like some another like different different situation. Like there can be lack of cacao, and the price would boost again.
A natural, let's say a natural disaster that wipes out. But is the cacao plant particularly at risk from tropical diseases and bugs and stuff?
I was like talking to some cafe farmers in the Zona Cafetera, and some of them are going to switch their farms, and they want to start cultivate cacao. The reason why, they told me that the investments in cultivation, it's not that high as in coffee. But yeah, I heard it just from one farmer, which just considered to switch his farm. But another thing about cacao, I think it's like the price, like which is on the globe or world market, it's just the normal quality. If the farmers here would educate, they would obtain the knowledge how to process the cacao before selling. They can get like even more like gains, not just the basic price. And if they sell it like on a let's say high end market, they can earn a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely, I think there's obviously a keen market for it, and who doesn't love chocolate, of course. But but the prices dip and ebb and flow and everything. We know this. We know this happens. So I keep coming back to these same things. You're making chocolate in the kitchen. So what is the hope then in the end, let's say, with the checkout.co brand? What is your hope with this? Aside from giving good chocolate to Colombians, where do you see it in, let's say, 2 years' time?
In 2 years? Yeah, I would like to... Maybe stop making it in kitchen. otherwise, I would be singer. And yes, I would make like different range of flavors, different like cacaos. Let's say about 10. Mm-hmm. I would have like really strong relations with the farmers of cacao and panela, and I would like to have like complex project. I wouldn't call it like business. That the farmers would would participate on making on a whole process. It means like really good cacao beans, really perfect final products for Colombian customers.
Mm-hmm. I can understand. Now, you said to me when we were talking offline that you refer to yourself and the process of you doing this, the whole product, as a punk process. Perhaps you would like to, are you the punk chocolatier? Perhaps you'd like to explain to my listeners what that means, if you're a punk chocolate producer.
Yeah, it means that I haven't invested like large sum of money in a machine. So I just want to step by step learning and make all the things handmade and see how it reacts, mm-hmm. what's going on when I change the temperature and so on.
So it's you. I mean, you are just genuinely tasting each batch, feeling each batch, making sure it's happening. But you say you haven't made an investment, but you do all this travel and you...
Yes, but like if I, as you know, so yeah. Like bring all the like chocolate machines in Colombia.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not very easy. It's not like to go in supermarket and buy like machine because everything must be imported and not all of these companies like send or export these machines to Colombia.
And so you imported a machine from India?
Yes, I found like I used just one machine for grinding, which I bought in India. It was one of the shops which was able to deliver the machine to Colombia.
And how was that? I mean, I just have to ask, because I always ask people about the bureaucracy, about importation. How was it when they...
I was kind of surprised, because let's say that I won... It was like in 2 weeks, yeah. Which was like in Colombian term of sense of time was like kind of quickly.
Yeah.
But I ordered as well some molds for making the chocolate bars from China. I think I ordered them in November.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them yet.
So we're into March. Yeah. We haven't seen anything. Okay. Well, so the Indian stuff arrived. Now, here's the test. Here's the fire test. And I've got this very nice looking bar here. Here's a piece for you. You've obviously tried lots of it.
I'm on diet now.
You're on a diet now. I'm always on a diet, but it doesn't work. So I'm going to try now for the first time. This piece of Checkout chocolate. And let's have a try. Let's bite a little bit into this. See? All right. It's got good consistency. Tastes like chocolate. There is a bitterness, as you said, but then I know it's cacao because I know it's got more than 50% because of that taste. The panela I can't really taste too much, but then I don't really know. And I can tell it's a milk chocolate. It's nice, you know.
Thank you.
It is nice chocolate. It's not bad chocolate at all. The offer out there, if you go to the supermarket, is either you buy the Santander, you know, expensive stuff, or stuff from Ecuador, Pacaya, that's right, isn't it? Mm. But this is good. This could easily be there alongside them. So now all you have to do is get that license.
Yes.
Because that's a key thing. Now, I'd be interested in hearing, once you've got that license, how the process... unfolded, because I think this is going to be like the hardest thing, isn't it? They give you all these tests and I'm sure you've been investigating the situation, but I guess it's all about money, really. I don't know.
But to be honest, it's one of the things which I'm like kind of avoiding because I am not looking forward to fulfill all the requests from the Colombian authorities.
No, but then I mean you do have private let's say buyers. Mm-hmm. You do stock this in a few cafes, but you know, if you can just continue like that, it's all good news, isn't it? It's until Envima comes and knocking on your door and asks to see what oven you're using, and it's a little one in the corner of your apartment. Yeah. I mean, it's quite exciting, though.
Yes.
But I have to ask you then, as we wind this down, I have to ask you. So you left you left your home in the Czech Republic. What do your parents have to say about your this adventure that you're on?
They are still waiting for some samples of my chocolate.
And they haven't tried it yet.
No, I like, you know, the post, the Colombian post. It's another issue. Like,
you have to send it by FedEx, otherwise you will never get that. So they haven't tried it yet?
No, not yet, but I'm supposed to come to my country like next month, so okay. I'm going to bring some.
So for Easter, you're going to go home, and you're going to take some chocolate back yeah. to the Czech Republic and see what your parents say, and they'll say, well, when you get into your room, they're going to lock the door and say, you can't leave, you crazy guy. Or they'll say, oh, you're doing something wonderful in Colombia.
No, like my parents are kind of... they are kind of open to these things and okay. they support me. Just my daddy thinks I'm crazy, but my mom is that like really main supporter.
Okay, well this is good to hear. You know, I mean, I think you know. I mean, my dad thought I was crazy for a bit, and then it was fine. And then everyone goes through these periods, but then when they know that you're fine and you're eating well, because that's what your mother most worries about. Yeah. So you're eating well, you're being well looked after. I think it's fascinating. And first of all, I would like to say, because I think it's fascinating, you've been down there to Granada, Meta, on your own. You've sorted out your providers. You've found the kernels that you want, the kernel of the cacao fruit. Then you do the process there. Then you bring it up to Bogota. And then you've found, I mean, it's an amazing story, Judy. It really is. And that you've launched this, and it's only been a few months, really.
Yes. I just, like, the second time in Colombia, I arrived, like, last November. Mm-hmm. Then I was waiting for my machine. Then another thing, like, which is, like, I would like to mention.
Sure.
I really liked the tajers or the workroom scene, because I broke my machines. And I was like really desperate. I didn't find a way how to fix it. Yeah. And I met one guy who was like, I think he was like 16 or 17.
Yeah.
And he just make the construction of steel, which I was like really surprised in one afternoon. And it was working. Like, and it's like the machine now, it's like much better than it was before.
So he looked at it, he saw what it needed, and then just killed the piece. Yeah.
They were like whole of Granada, like, half of Granada just came, they were like surprised what kind of machine is it, and the guy just find the solution like really quickly in one afternoon, and he make the construction.
But I think that's a bit like, you know, when you go to these countryside car workshops.
Yes.
They just know how to do something.
Yes.
It's like, oh, hang on, and they'll find something that will fit and then make it work, because of course there's no way of ordering a repair and stuff. I think there's a necessity behind that kind of what would you say, creativity. It's fascinating. Now, I want to have you back on the show. I'd like to have you back on Colombia Calling at a later date when you've got your license, and to see how it's all developed, because I think this story is so interesting, Judy. This is a story that just a young man from the Czech Republic just decides to... It's not even that you're just a buyer and trying to sell to Europe. You are actually doing everything yourself. I mean, that's it. So the next step, and not only is getting your license, is probably creating your own coffee cacao plantation.
Yeah, that's...
It's crossed your mind, hasn't it?
Yes, but I want to go like really slowly, step by step. There are so many things you can do with cacao, but I want to go like slowly. I don't want to rush so much in so many different... directions.
Well, I mean, if anything is being proven here, is that anything is possible if you want to do it. Everything is possible. I mean, you've shown us that you had a passion, and now you have a passion for chocolate and cacao. It's great. So listen, I'm just going to tell my listeners to check out your website. Check out.
Let's say that the it's very punk, the website.
Yeah. It's checkout. That's checkout.co. So that's checkout.co. It's Jiri's website that's there. You'll find out about his chocolate, his products and what he does. And if you want it here in Colombia, of course, we'll put this up on our Facebook page, and we'll put it on Twitter and so on. But this is a good news story. Someone just following a dream and seeing it through. I am so impressed. In fact, I'm just a little bit overwhelmed. This is coming in. It's because it's so cool. It's so different. I mean, you're not someone who's come with a cooking background. You're not someone who's come with a farming background. You're someone who's come with an economy background and a background in a plastics and moldings company from Prague. Mm. And now you're in the thick of it with the best of them in Granada, Meta, which by all accounts is not an easy place. I mean, I don't know.
But... No, yes, there are like some guerrilla issues in past.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't allow me to enter some farms there, because they were still scared of some whitey coming there. Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, because you are so exotic for there. I mean, now in Bogota, you know, us foreigners, you can see a bunch of us. But Czech people are still obviously very exotic. But
thank you.
You are exotic here. It's different. So let me just take this moment to say thank you for your time. And if there's anything that we can do to help you and support you continuing this quest to bring quality chocolate to Colombians, count on us, and I hope that there's people out there listening to this podcast who are inspired so they can get involved in something here in Colombia. Look at this, you know, this young man's come here and he's got his own chocolate mini empire now. So I mean, my hat is off to you. Congratulations, Jim.
Thank you very much.
You're most
but
welcome.
Still a lot of work to...
Well, hard work, you know, hard work is hard work. And if you've got a passion for it, then it's fine, isn't it? So listen, let's wind down episode 179 of Colombia Calling. Of course, get in touch. That's colombiacalling@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter or on Facebook. Next week, we're coming back and we're talking coffee and cacao again. But it's an interesting one because it seems to fit into this time of the year. Because you will remember a few years ago, I had Susie Hoban on the show. Susie Q, and so we'll have her back on the show, and Karen Atman of Flavors of Bogota, and of course she's the Bogota coffee lady now, doing tours around cafes here in Bogota and tastings. So I hope you, and I know for a fact you guys have enjoyed this show, because it has been a different show, talking to someone following his dream here and making something, you know, with his own hands. I mean, really, that's a sacrifice. So tune in next week to episode 180, where we'll have the Susie and Karen on the show. But for now, I'll say farewell. This is Colombia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. And we've been talking to Jiri Petrak of checkout.co. Thank you again.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.